Inflation ticks up very slightly.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, it's the Morning Open. Good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Got some more economic data this morning. And that Financial Consumer Protection Agency being tossed around? Well, it may be tossed aside. All that coming up. Trading's underway for American financial markets. So we're going to ask that question, where's Wall Street? Markets are down right now. The S&P off about 0.4%. The NASDAQ 0.25% lower. And the Dow off about 40 points at 10,671. Little change there. European markets slightly lower, under 1%. London's FTSE now flat. And Asian shares closed mostly mixed today. We heard from the Labor Department this morning that consumer prices rose just 0.1%. Even excluding food and energy, prices rose just modestly. Conrad DeQuadros is an economist at RDQ Economics in New York. Conrad, good morning.
Good morning.
So we see this slight uptick. Is this something consumers should be worried about?
Well, I think if we look at a broader view, look at the year as a whole rather than the most recent month, CPI inflation was up 2.7%. This compares to just 0.1 in 2008. So there is a sign here that inflation is picking up.
Let's talk a little bit about the difference between core rate and the regular rate and all that. I mean, core, of course, excludes food and energy prices, correct?
That's correct.
And so, aren't consumers really hit with those things the most?
Well, they are. I mean, I think that that we should be looking at broader measures of inflation, like the overall inflation index. I think it doesn't really make sense to me to just arbitrarily exclude food and energy. So that's why we pay more attention to the headline index.
All right. And does the Fed not have anything to worry about, you think, about inflation going forward? You say that perhaps there is something, going forward.
Well, I don't think the Fed will be worried. I think the Fed looks at an unemployment rate that's very elevated and believes that inflation will remain benign. But I think that there is clear evidence here that inflation is picking up, and we do have the Fed that has very low interest rates, and our feeling is that inflation could become a problem down the road.
And we also got this report from the Fed on industrial production today. It looks like there was a small dip in manufacturing last month. Isn't this one of the areas we thought would help revive the economy?
Well, the manufacturing data in the Fed's report was actually weaker, but bear in mind that some of the other manufacturing data have been significantly stronger, including the report from the New York Fed today, which showed a significant pickup in manufacturing activity in January. So a little bit of a mixed reading, but most of the manufacturing data are still suggesting significant strength in that area.
All right, Conrad DeQuadros, we do appreciate it. Thank you.
My pleasure.
J.P. Morgan Chase reported fourth quarter profits topped $3.3 billion, strong results from its investment bank unit. Those earnings are better than expected, but revenues fell short of expectations. Intel late yesterday posted its biggest quarterly revenue in more than a year, said there was a strong rebound in the personal computer market. There's been a lot of talk about getting some financial regulatory reforms through Congress. One of the components of President Obama's plan is this new Financial Consumer Protection Agency. But now that may be a long shot. Marketplace's Sam Eaton is with us live in our studio here in Los Angeles with the latest. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Steve.
So why the sudden change in direction?
Well, it all centers around Senate Banking Committee Chair Christopher Dodd, the Connecticut Democrat. He recently announced that he won't be seeking re-election next November, but that doesn't change the pressure he and other Democrats are feeling to pass some kind of financial reform bill before those elections in order to ease voter backlash. The problem is to do that, it looks like Dodd will have to drop the idea of creating a new consumer protection agency, which is essentially the cornerstone of Obama's proposed financial reforms. And the word today that Dodd is willing to do just that as a way to compromise with Republicans isn't playing out well with consumer advocates. Here's Heather Booth with Americans for Financial Reform.
Without a serious consumer financial protection focus, that would not be real reform. And we think that the politicians understand that this is what Main Street wants, and then it's just a question of are they responding to Main Street or are they responding to Wall Street?
All right. So then, Sam, what's the alternative here?
Well, it looks like the idea of beefing up consumer protections is still on the table, but instead of a standalone agency, those powers may be rolled into an existing department. And that's exactly what the banking industry has been calling for. Here's Scott Talbot, the head lobbyist with the Financial Services Roundtable.
If you underregulate, you can see we saw what happened. But if you overregulate, you could stifle creativity, innovation, and the free flow of capital, and that won't benefit consumers, banks, or the economy.
The bottom line here, though, is that this move would represent a major political concession in Obama's financial reform efforts.
All right. Marketplace's Sam Eaton here in the studio. Sam, thanks.
Thanks.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Friday, January 15th, 2010, at marketplace.org. Lots of state pensions are enormously underfunded, and it's not just because of last year's stock market nosedive. Investigations at federal and state levels have found many questionable practices. California just revealed investment firms paid people off to get a chunk of the state's $200 billion pension business. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith has more.
California's public pension fund is the biggest in the country, and a review found that the agents in charge of placing California pension money collected millions of dollars in fees from eager investment firms. Similar things went on in New York, New Mexico, and Illinois. Kent Smetters is a professor of risk management at the Wharton School. He says pension funds were ripe to be ripped off.
They were the kind of the cash cow that managers would go after because they could still charge them pretty high fees. Pension board members often didn't push back.
So a lot of public pension money ended up going to fees, risky real estate investments, and hedge funds. Now many state pensions are underfunded. With baby boomers retiring, that will mean big changes for state pensions, says Elizabeth Keller with the Center for State and Local Government Excellence.
In the short run, you're going to see plans that are asking for greater employee contributions. They're going to create some new tiers for new hires. Employers will have to put in more money.
13 million Americans are on public pension plans. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Low-income residents of New Orleans say they're seeing some improvements to their health care. That's according to a new study that says the care is more efficient and affordable. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY, Gregory Warner reports that they can thank the recovery efforts after the city's most infamous storm.
New Orleans' health care problems began long before Hurricane Katrina. If you were sick and uninsured,
you had to get on the bus and go downtown and wait in the emergency room at Charity Hospital.
Clayton Williams is with the Louisiana Public Health Institute. He says when floods from Katrina shut down Charity Hospital, low-income residents lost their main source of health care. Nonprofit health centers and community clinics cropped up to fill the void. Instead of rebuilding the hospital, a $100 million federal grant went toward incentives for the clinics to network with each other and improve their electronic records.
So that the clinics were actually eligible for more money if they met certain benchmarks, such as becoming better coordinated, accessible sites of care.
That's Melinda Abrams of the Commonwealth Fund, which conducted the study. She says New Orleans is a good model for healthcare reform.
The access for disadvantaged people in New Orleans is better than for the average American.
In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
The U.S. Figure Skating Championships kick off today in Spokane, Washington. They're going to determine which U.S. skaters advance to next month's Winter Olympics in Vancouver. But as Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports, the winners may not have as much media draw as the figure skaters who once dominated the airwaves.
Ever hear of Rachel Flatt or Alyssa Cisney? If you haven't, that's probably not great news for Smuckers, AT&T, and State Farm, sponsors of the U.S. Figure Skating Championships. Both skaters are expected to advance to the Winter Games, but they certainly don't have the same name recognition as Nancy Kerrigan and Tanya Harding. USA Today sports columnist Christine Brennan was at the Winter Games in 1994 when the pair faced off.
When the women's short program went on in Lillehammer, Norway. The TV ratings were huge. Half the nation basically watched something that was 8 hours old and they knew the results of.
Brennan points out even the Super Bowl doesn't get ratings that high anymore, and most sports have seen audience deterioration. But figure skating has fared worse. By the 2006 games, just 16% of Americans tuned in to watch the women skate.
The U.S. does not have a dominant female skater and hasn't since Michelle Kwan retired in 06. And there's been no one to fill the void.
Come February, figure skating is still expected to top the ratings, ahead of bobsled, skiing, even men's hockey, says Hill Caro, who's organizing the next U.S. figure skating championships.
Figure skating is the number one sport in the Winter Olympics. By every measure, it's the most popular, it's the most watched.
Alyssa Cottrell will be watching. I met her at an indoor skating rink in Portland where her daughter was taking a lesson.
I always liked figure skating when I was younger, and now that my daughter's really excited about it, I think, you know, it'll be fun to watch the Olympics with her.
That's figure skating's ideal target audience, a mother and daughter watching TV in prime time. It's also a good demographic for local skating rinks, which expect to see a surge of young girls coming in for lessons, skates, and rink time after all the hype and medal winning in Vancouver. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Those fees President Obama's proposing for banks could hit big British banks. Three of them are facing $11 billion in fees just between them, and other European banks with a presence on Wall Street will be hit as well. Some analysts say European governments may follow the president's example and maybe impose their own bank taxes. From London, our European correspondent Stephen Beard reports.
A popular tax is always a godsend for governments, and especially now on this side of the Atlantic. Obama's bank levy has been a boon to European administrations contemplating something similar. And it's strengthened the hand of those like the British and the French that have already started taxing bankers more heavily. When the UK introduced a 50% tax on bank bonuses, there were dire warnings of a banker exodus from Britain. But, says Professor Stefano Harney of Queen Mary University Business School, that threat now looks less credible.
Obviously, they can't go to the United States. They probably can't go to most of Europe with the possible exception of Switzerland. So I think the question now is, you want to leave? Well, where is it you're planning to go?
He doesn't believe many major Western banks would want to relocate their headquarters to Dubai, Mumbai or Shanghai because taxpayers there wouldn't bail them out come the next crisis. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And finally, this late-night ambiguity is getting out of hand. For Conan O'Brien, there's a lot at stake if NBC gives The Tonight Show back to Jay Leno. What else can Conan do? Sell the show on Craigslist.
For sale, barely used, late-night talk show. Make me an offer. This is really out there.
It's still out there this morning. The ad also says guaranteed to last 7 months, and buyer must honor Barry Manilow booking next Thursday. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.